Thank you very much for joining. Today's daf is daf Peches here in Masechet Pesachim. We were in the middle of Agadatas. Why Hashem sent us to exile in Bavel. When Hashem destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, He sent Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, to destroy the first Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem was angry with us. He could have sent the Egyptian king, who was the rival of the Babylonian king. He could have been exiled again to Egypt. He could have been exiled somewhere else, to Rome. The Edomites could have destroyed it. Why did Hashem choose to allow the Babylonians to destroy the temple and exile us to Bavel? So one answer that was suggested yesterday was that Hashem was sending us back to our parents. Avram Avinu was from Bavel, from Ur Kasdim. So it's sort of like the writing of the Luchos. It goes back to its source. And now another idea. Ula Amar, Ula said the very last line on Pezainim and Beis. Kedei sheyochlu tzmarim, v'yasku b'torah. Hashem sent us to Bavel for the first exile so that we would eat dates and be busy with Torah. Apparently Bavel is a place where there's a lot of dates. Dates are, number one, sweet. Dates maybe also are filling. And so if there's a lot of dates available, the dates are cheap, the food is cheap. If food is available, plentiful and cheap, then people can learn Torah. They don't have to work so hard to make a lot of money to survive. A little bit of money, they can survive, because there are plenty of dates around. So Hashem sent us into Bavel so that we would have access to the dates and we'd be able to continue to learn Torah. Because it would be easy to have food. And now a story about this, how in Bavel there are dates available. Ula ikla lepumpadisa. Ula once came to Pumpadisa. Krivule tirana de tamri. They brought him a basket of dates. Apparently, you see, they have a big basket filled with lots of dates. Amalui said to them, Kamakihani bezuza. How many of these can you buy with a single zuz? How cheap are dates here? Amrulay, they said to Ula, Tlas Bezuzah, you get three of these baskets for one zuz. For one zuz, you can get three of these baskets. Amazing. So many dates, so plentiful, so affordable. Amr, he said, Malay Tana de Duvsha Bezuzah. I don't understand. A whole basket filled with honey. A whole basket of sweets you can get for a zuz. You get maybe three baskets for a zuz. Ubavloy lo aski ba'oraisa. And the Babylonians aren't busy learning Torah. In other words, if it's so easy to make ends meet here to survive, why are people busy working, accumulating wealth, luxuries? You have a chance to manage with less and learn Torah. Have more time for the learning of Torah. More time to immerse in Torah. What are people doing in this place? So, Belila, that night, Tsaruhu, these dates caused him a lot of pain. He had to spend a lot of time in the bathroom with indigestion. He said, you know what? Maybe it's not so easy to make ends meet here. Amar, he said, Nale Tsana Sama Dumosa Bezuza Bibavel. In Bavel, a full basket of poison you get for a zuz. You give a zuz and you get a basket of poison. You get stuff that mamish blows up the stomach. I don't understand how anybody survives this diet. Ubavloi aski ba'iraisa. And even so, the Babylonians are busy learning Torah. I give them credit. This is the food that they have. And they're probably in the bathroom all the time with problems. And still, between going to the bathroom and working, they have the time to learn Torah, and they're immersed in Torah, and they're busy with Torah, and they're trying to understand the Torah. They deserve a lot of credit. All right, that completes the discussion about Bavel. Going back to the topics of the prophet Hosea, the Jews being exiled, the Jews being brought back. Amar Belezer said, my thing, what's the meaning of the verse in Yeshaya? In the future, many nations will go. They will say, let us go up together to the mountain of God. In the future, many nations are going to want to come to Israel. They want to go to the mountain of God, to Jerusalem. And so we want to go up, El Beis Elokei Yaakov, to the home of the God of Jacob. I don't understand, Elokei Yaakov, they only want to go to the home of the God of Jacob. Elokei Avraham v'Yitzchak, not to the God of Abraham and Isaac. Ella rather, the idea is they want to go up to the house of the God of Jacob. It's Jacob's understanding of the temple and Jacob's understanding of prayer that inspires the nations. Lo ka'avram, it's not like Abraham. Shekasa bohar, Avram Avinu describes the Temple Mount as a big mountain. He instituted the prayer of Shachris. And the verse says, Shenemar, it says, Asher yomer ayom bahar Hashem yira'eh. After the Akedah, Avram said, this will now be said, and this is the mountain where God is seen. So they're not going for the God of Abraham. They're not inspired by the mountain image. About Yitzchak, he describes prayer as a field, and the Temple Mount as a field. Yitzchak went out to converse in the field. Eloki Yaakov, rather like Jacob, Shekra Obayis, who referred to the Temple Mount and the place of prayer as a home. Shenem, as it says, after Yaakov's dream, Yikra Chema Makomahu Beis El. He named the place Beis El, the house of God. Rabbi Yochanan said, Gadol Kibbutz Golios, Kiyom Shenivribo Shemaim Va'aretz. Great is the day of the ingathering of the exiles, like the day in which God created the heaven and the earth. Shenamar, the verse says in Hosea, V'nikfutzu b'nei Yehudah v'nei Yisrael yachdav. And the sons of Judea and the sons of Israel will gather together. V'samolehem rosh achad, and they'll appoint for themselves one leader. V'alumina aretz, and they will ascend from the land. Ki gadol yom Yisrael. For great is the day of Yisrael. So talk about the day. This is the day of yom Yisrael, when they gather. Kibbutz Golios. See, the verse says, "Vayer vayivoker yom echad." It was evening. It was morning. One day, creation of the world is also yom. So, great is the day of Kibbutz Galios. Great is the day of the ingathering of the exiles, like yom echad, like the creation of heaven and earth. All right, going back to the Mishnah, going back to the halacha. We know that to eat Karban Pesach, you have to be manui. You have to be counted in the Karban Pesach. You have to have a share in it. What happens if you don't have property? So the Mishnah talks about different people who don't have property. A married woman, a slave, an orphan. And the Mishnah deals with the different cases. The Mishnah says, Yasom, an orphan, a child. Sheshachtu Olav Aputrapsin, the two of his legal guardians, each of them slaughtered on his behalf a Korban Pesach. In other words, legal guardian number one said, this orphan is part of my Korban Pesach. And legal guardian number two said, the orphan is part of my Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says the orphan can choose which Korban Pesach he wants to eat from. Says the Gemara, Shamit Minah, do we see from this Mishnah, Yesh Breira? Do we see from the Mishnah the rule that a person can make a decision later and it will reveal retroactively what he was intending to do earlier? We have to be part of the Korban. We don't know which part of the Korban, we don't know which Korban he's in, because this Korban was for him and that Korban was for him. He chooses, I want that one. That means that retroactively he was part of that one from the very beginning, from when it was slaughtered, from when the blood was thrown on his behalf. So you see the Yesh Breira, you can make a choice later to reveal what it was retroactively earlier. Some observers said maybe not. Maybe this is not a proof that Yesh Breira. Maybe this is based on a special verse. The verse says, Selah Bayis, a lamb for the entire household. So Rashi says, that tells you, Ish Bala Bayis Yikochenu L'chol B'nei Beso. The man who's the owner of the household can do it for his household. Ein tzarech daitan, he doesn't need their intention. So here the apotropos is a balabayas, he's the master of the household, he's the executor of the will, he's the one running the house. So he can do it for all, even without their intent, not that you need breira. Tana Rabbanan lived in a braisa, similarly, selabayas, the verse says, a sheep for the household. Lamed that teaches you Shadam Navy Vishokhid al Yaday Bino Ubito Aktanim. A person can bring a sheep, Korban Pesach, and slaughter it, and declare that he's doing it for his son and his daughter who are minors. They're part of the sheep. So Rashi explains, He has a responsibility to educate them. Hilkach, and that's why. Whether they were quiet about it. Even if they say, "Lo, we don't want to be part of it." They can't protest. They're part of his Karban Pesach. The same way he can make a Karban Pesach for his children who are minors. He can make the Karban Pesach for his slaves, male and female, who aren't Jewish. Again, whether they are willful, and Shalom Midaitan, or even without their intent. But he can't slaughter for his son and daughter who are adults, or for his maid, male or female, who are Jewish, because they have their own property rights. My child who's an adult can own things himself. And Eved Ivri also can own his own things. Or a person's wife, she can have her own property. So she's not necessarily part of his household. But if they agree to be part of the Karban, then the slaughtering can be for them. Tanya Yidduch, we learned in another Braisa. Lo yishchat adam lo al yidei b'no bito agdolim. A person should not slaughter a Karban Pesach for his son or daughter who are adults. V'al yidei adam shivchoso evim v'al yidei ishto. Nor for his male or female Jewish slaves. Or for his wife. Elam yidaita. Unless they agree to it. Unless they know about it and they want to be part of it. Av'al shochet hu al yidei b'no bito aktanim. But he can't slaughter on behalf of his son and daughter who are minors. And on behalf of his non-Jewish slaves, then they are part of the Karban, whether they wanted to be part of it, or against their will. The Kulan, and all of them, they themselves slaughtered, and their master slaughtered, Yotzim Mishal Rabban. And their master's carbon is their carbon. They don't fulfill their obligation with their own carbon. Except for a wife. Because she can protest and say, I don't want to be part of my husband's. And I don't want my financial situation to be tied up with him. I want to have my own money. I'll keep my own wages. And he doesn't need to give me food, as we learned in the Sechta Ksubos. Says the Gemara, Maishna Isha, why is it only a woman that she can pull out of the husband's karban? An adult child also can have their own money. Should be able to pull out of the husband's karban, the father's karban. And Eved Ivri can have his own money. He should be able to pull out. Amar Rava said, what the Braisa means is Isha v'chol adamila. A wife and all that are like her, namely an Eved Ivri and a child who's an adult. Says the Gemara, Gufa Kasha. Within the words themselves, we have a contradiction. Amarati said, Chutzman Isha. Except for a woman who can protest. That sounds like Taima. When is she not part of the carbon of her husband's amachi? If she verbally protests. But if she didn't say, I'm out, then nafka b'shel baila. And she does fulfill her obligation with her husband's carbon. But it said at the beginning, and he can't sign up his wife unless she agrees. That sounds like hastama. If she didn't say anything, she didn't agree, nor did she disagree. Oh, nafka. Then she doesn't fulfill her obligation. Answer the Gemara, my elamidaitan. What does it mean? She can only be part of the carbon if she agrees. Lav da amri in. Not that she actually said yes. Elabistama. She was quiet. She didn't say no. Lafuka hecha da amar lo. And only in the case where she says no, then she's out. But the Braisa says all of them, if they slaughter plus the master slaughters, they're in the master's carbon. That's a case where they didn't say anything. They just slaughtered in the master slaughter. The Katani says they're all part of the master's carbon, except for the wife. Because she can choose to be totally independent. But again, she didn't actually protest. She was stama. Amar Rava. Rava said no. Even she shachtu, since she's slaughtering her own karban, ain lachamichu gadol mizeh. There's There's no greater protest of saying, I don't want to be part of my husband's carbons. If she deliberately says, I want to be out, then she's out. But if she's quiet, then she's included in the husband's carbon. Mishnah said, Eved shel shnei shutfin. If you have a non-Jewish slave who belongs to two partners, and they each slaughtered Korban Pesach on his behalf, he can't eat from either one. He can't eat from either one. Because this partner only had his share as part of the share of the slave that he owns. He was including the Korban Pesach, and the other partner was including the share of the slave that he owns. But neither of them had the entirety of the slave in the Korban. Rami Rav Ina Sava Rav Nachman. Rav Ina Sava asked a question to Rav Nachman. We're at the bottom here of Peches Amud Aleph. It's not. We have it in Mishnah. Eved shel shnei shutfim liocham mishal shneihem. A slave of two partners, each of them makes a korban pesach, saying that the slave is part of it. He can't eat from either. But Tana, we learned in a brisa that when you have a slave of two partners, ratzmi zeochal, and they each slaughter a korban pesach on his behalf. If he wants to, he can eat from this one. If he wants to, he can eat from that one. Amar leh, so he said to him, Eina sava, you know, wise man, Amar leh patya uchma. Sometimes some said he called him, you know, black pot, and it's a person who works hard in your learning Torah. From me and from you together, we can resolve this halacha. Masnisin with the kapti adadi. The Mishnah is referring to partners who are particular with each other. They're upset with each other. He doesn't want to help the other guy out. So then when he put a slave into his carbon, it was only his share, not the other guy's share. The Bryce that said that the slave can choose to eat from whatever carbon he wants, that's because the lo kapti adadi, partners that aren't particular with each other. It's okay, I slaughtered it for my share of the slave, but I'm happy that his share also be part of the carbon, because I don't mind helping him out, he doesn't mind helping me out. And the Mishnah said, what happens if you have a slave owned by two partners and one partner renounces his ownership? So now somebody's a chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. He's a half slave and half free. And the master who owns only half of him says, I'm slaughtering a korban pesach for you. He can't eat. He can't eat from the master's because the master only wanted the slave part, the property part. He didn't want the free part in. And he can't eat from his own because his slave part is not part of his own korban. So it's not a carbon that he's manuyin. It's not a carbon that he is signed up in. Says the Gemara, Mishal Rabu de lo yochal. He can't eat from his master's carbon. That sounds like a Mishal Atzma yochal. He could eat from his own carbon. By the time we learned in a brisa, so what I just said, lo yochal, lo mishal, lo mishal rabu. He can't eat from his master's carbon. He can't eat from his own carbon. Answer the Gemara, the famous answer that it gives in all these questions about chatziyav and chatzi ben chorin, lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Khan Commissioner Rishona, one source is following the original view of Beis Hillel. The original view of Beis Hillel is that a chatziyav and chatziyav ben chorin stays in this situation of half slave, half free. So since he stays in this situation of half slave, half free, that's why he can't eat from his own carbon. Because even in his own carbon, it's half-half. Khan Commissioner Achrona, the Mishnah that implied that he could eat from his own carbon is according to the final conclusion of Beis Hillel, that we force the master to free the half-slave, half-freed man. Since we're going to force him to get freed, he's already considered freed, and the carbon of his own is fully for him. His master's carbon is not for him. The time is going to the Mishnah, and Chagiga, and Gittin. You have a slave owned by two masters. One master frees his share. So now he's a half-slave, half-freed person. Oh, but it's Rabbi Yom Echad. He works for his master one day. Then he works for himself the next day. It's the view of Beis Hillel. However, Beis Shammai say, now turning to Peches and Beis, Tikantim is Rabbo, you've helped out his master because the master wants to be able to get labor from him. Beis Atmalotikantim, but you haven't fixed himself because Lisa Shifchina Yochli can't marry a non-Jewish maid. Shekvar Chetzi Ben Chorin, because half of him is Jewish. Lisa Bas Chorin Yochli can't marry a Jewish woman. Adain chatziu evit, because half of him is a slave. Iba, until to sit and not get married at all. Halolo nivra olam elol piriviriv, but the world was created to be populated. Shanam as the verse says, Loto bra, God didn't make it to be empty. The Shevis Yitzar, he made it to be settled. Elam yipnei tikuna olam, so therefore, in order to fix the world, Kofanus Rabba, we force the master of Osa ben Chorin, he has to free the half that he owns. and the slave who goes free, Kosef Shtar al Chatzi Damav, he writes an IOU for half of his value, and he will pay that to the master. Chazur Beis Hillel, or is going to Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel ultimately agreed with Beis Shammai. So according to this, that's our Mishnah. Like the Mishnah Achrona, so since he's going to be free, therefore he could sign up for his own Karban Pesach. A question? Yeah, please.
Eved
Kenani.
Kenani. Okay, but he knows.
Yes, Eved Kenani is also obligated in Karban Pesach. Okay, now the next Mishnah. We know that the Karban Pesach can be either a goat or a lamb. What happens if somebody sends his slave to shech the Karban Pesach for him, but he didn't specify whether he wanted a goat or a lamb? Says the Mishnah, Omer la'avdo, a man who tells his slave, go and slaughter for me a Karban Pesach. Go slaughter an animal and say it's being done for me, the master, for my Karban Pesach. So now, shachet didi yocham. If the slave slaughters the goat, so that's it. Now the master will have to eat from the goat. Shachet tla yocham. And if the slave slaughters the lamb, he'll eat from the lamb. Shachet didi utla. Let's say he did both. He slaughtered both a goat and a lamb. Then the master eats on the first from the goat. The second one is not a Karban Pesach, and it gets burnt. Shachach ma'amar lo rabo. Let's say the master specified something. He said a goat. He said a lamb. But the slave forgot what he was told. So Kate said, yasa. Now what is he going to do? He doesn't know. If he slaughters a lamb, maybe it's the wrong thing. If he slaughters a goat, maybe it's the wrong thing. What does he do? Yishchatz le'ugdi. He should slaughter both a lamb and a goat. The yomer, he should say like this. Im gdi amar li rabbi, if my master told me a goat, and I forgot. Gdi shalo, the goat is his, and fleshly, and the lamb is mine. Im tzle amar li rabbi, and if my master told me a lamb, that's fleshalo, the lamb is his. Gdi shali, and the goat is mine. So he says, you know, basically brings two animals. He says, whatever was for my master is for my master. And the other one is my own. Shachach rabo ma'amarlo. Let's say it's not the slave who forgot what the master wanted. The master forgot what he wanted. He forgot if he had said a goat or if he forgot that he had said a lamb. So now shneim yitzlo beis ha'shreifa. Now both the goat and the lamb have to be burned because the master doesn't know which one he signed up for. But they don't have to make Pesach Sheni, both the master and the slave. Because both the master and the slave at the time of the throwing of the blood had karbanos that would work for them. It's only later that he forgot. So once the blood was thrown, they got the kapar, they got the atonement of Pesach Rishon. They're exempted from Pesach Sheni. Yeah, question.
But wouldn't they basically, or because they have to do the Zrika and so on for that karban, they cannot do like a conditional one? You cannot say if it's the Pesach Korban, that's so be it, and if not, it's a Shlamim.
Correct.
And vice versa. So couldn't they bring both of them as Korbanot?
Right. So no, they would have to do the Zvika for the right one. We'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to specify that. Yes. So now starting with the first part of the Mishnah. Right. A person tells his slave, "Go and shecht for me a Karban Pesach." And the slave chose to do a goat. So that's it. Now the master has a goat. So Gemara says, "Pshita, of course, shachak di yochal. If what the slave slaughtered was a goat, that's what he eats." It's the Gemara. This is the Chiddush. Afal gav derugel betle. Even though the master normally gets a lamb, he always eats lamb. He always brings karbanos of lamb. Chiddush is, even though he normally gets lamb and he eats karbanos of lamb, if he gave permission to the slave, he deputized the slave, "You find the carbon for me." So now the slave has the right to goat for him. Shachat le yochal. Same point. Afagav the ragel bigdi. Even though he normally has goat, since he said to the slave, "You do a carbon for me," he gave the slave the rights, and the slave can now sign him up for a lamb. Then the Mishnah says, Shachat gdi utle. If the slave did both, yochal min harishon. Now he eats on the first. So it sounds like the slave says, "I don't know what he wants, whether he wants a goat, whether he wants a lamb. He just told me to get a Karban Pesach for me." So he did both. He wasn't sure what he really wants. And so that's the first one that counts. So ask the man, "I understand. Time we did in Braisa that there's no Breira. This Braisa says, Ein nimnin al shnei psachim ke'echad. A person himself can't say, I'm signing up on two karbanos, and then I'll decide which one's going to be mine. So if the person can't for himself sign up on two karbanos and decide which one will be his, how could a slave who was told to sign to make a karban for somebody do two karbanos for the person? He can't sign up for two. As the Gemara Masnisa in the Mishnah, which when the master is sending out a slave, is talking about a master who's a king, the Melech Umalk. It's talking about a master who's a king. So when a master is a king, they're used to fine luxury. The slaves of the kings know to bring for them only fine luxury. They're only going to bring them a very good goat, a very good lamb. So therefore, the king really doesn't care. The king said, get for me a carbon. He doesn't care whether it be a goat or a lamb. He knows whatever it'll be a good one. So therefore, if the slave does goat and lamb, that's not a situation where a person was signed up on two and then we have to decide which one he really meant. It's not a situation of Breira. He's happy with either one. So therefore, the first one that's done for him is the one that it is. So it was done right away, the first one. And that's it. And that's why it works. But that's how we learned in a Braisa too. Braisa says, Ein nimnin al shnei psachim ke'echad. A regular person can't be indecisive and say, I'm signing up for two karbanos, I don't know which one I'm going to use, then I'll decide later. That doesn't work. You can't decide later. You have to sign up for one karban. But Maisa b'melech u'malka, there was a story with a king and a queen. They told their slaves, go and slaughter Karban Pesach for us. They went out and they slaughtered two Karbanos Pesach. They came and they asked the king. Amlehem, he said to them, go and ask the queen which one we should do. So they went and they asked the queen. She said, go ask Rabbi Gamliel. They went and asked Rabbi Gamliel. He said, listen, we're dealing here with a king and a queen. They're in a good mood all the time. They eat very nice food. Everybody pampers them. They can eat from the first one. That's it. Because both were fine. They get to eat from the first carbon. Whatever was slaughtered first, that's their carbon, because they're happy with either one. You don't need a braver to figure out what they wanted. They're happy with either one. That's what the first one is, the one that works. And now, people like us, though, if I send somebody to do a carbon for me, and he says, I'm not sure what Zev likes, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, then I'll find out from Zev. We couldn't eat from the first or the second, because now there wasn't a decisive decision, there wasn't a willfulness about what the carbon is when it was being first prepared, slaughtered, and blood being thrown. It's that later we'll figure out what it is. That doesn't work. All right, another story with Rabbi Gamliel. Another story. There was once this Lita was one of the Shratzen. It was seemingly dead. This Lita was found in the kitchen. So they wanted to make the entire meal tummy. They asked the king. He said, go ask the queen. They asked the queen. She said to them, go ask Rabbi Gamliel. They now see the Sanhedrin. Also, they came and they asked Rabbi Gamliel. He said to them, was the kitchen boiling or was the food cold? They said, boiling. He said, go pour on this litza a cup of cold water. They poured on the litza a cup of cold water. The richshah started to move. So it wasn't dead. The Gamliel called us through the kula. So Gamliel said, okay, the whole meal is now tar because the rodent was not dead. Nimtzah comes out, Melech Taliba Malka, the king was dependent on the queen. Vininse is Malka Tulib Rabbi Gamliel, the queen was dependent on Rabbi Gamliel. And Nimtzah is called us through the Tulib Rabbi Gamliel, the whole meal was dependent on Rabbi Gamliel. All right, going back to the Mishnah, a master who sends out a slave, he says, go, slaughter Karban Pesach for me. Shachach Mashamalo Rabbi, the slave forgot what the master wanted. So then the slave should do two karbanos pesach, a goat and a lamb, and he'll say, whatever the master wants is for him, and the other one is for me. For me, Shali, for me, asks the Gemara, I understand. Mashakana avikana rabbo, how does a slave have any property to have his own karban? Whatever a slave owns, the master owns. Amar Abai explained, you can give to a slave property on condition that his master not have it. Matana al menashe ein l'rabcha rishuspo. A present on condition your master doesn't have a share in it. So Amar Abai said, that's what happens here. He forgot whether his master wants a goat or a lamb. So he goes to the shepherd who normally supplies the goats and the lambs to his master. This shepherd is going to want his master to, for it all to work out, for him to have a carbon. So therefore, he's going to give him both a goat and a lamb, and he'll tell him like this, he's going to say, I'm giving it to you, giving you both. One of these is for the master. We don't know if he wants a goat or a lamb, so one of this is for the master, and the other one is for you on condition that your master not have a share in it. That way the slave has his own property. And that way the slave can bring the two carbonos. One will be for the master, the other one will be for himself. He just doesn't know which one is which, so he says, one is a carbon pesach for my master, the other is a carbon pesach for me. Now, if the master forgot, shachach rabo, masha amarlo, if the master forgot what he had said to the slave, amar abai, then the Mishnah says, so then, if the master had forgotten which one he had said, so then they both go to be burned, but they're patur from Pesach Sheni. Amar Abai, Abai said, Lo Shana, that's only true. Elo Sheshachach Achar Zrika. After the Zrika, the master forgot what he wanted, whether he wanted a goat or a lamb. They mean the Izrikdam, because at the moment that the blood was thrown, Havachazi La'achila, he was remembering what he wanted, and at that moment, whatever it was, whether it was the lamb or the goat, it was something that could be eaten. Aval Shachach Lifnei Zrika. But if even before they threw the blood, he forgot what he wanted, the Chi Izrikdam, when the blood was thrown, he wasn't able to eat. Nothing was thrown for him to be able to eat. Then they have to make a Pesach Sheni. Some say this idea of Zrika needing to have been kosher at the time of the Zrika to exempt you from Pesach Sheni, some said it on the following Brisa. The Brisa says, 5 people who the skins of their carbonos pesach get mixed up with each other. So now we don't know which animal belongs to which person. And they find in one of these skins a wart. That means that the animal was a balmum. That means that the carbon pesach was pasul. So kulin yosel beis shefa. Now all these 5 carbonos are going to have to be burned. Because we don't know. Maybe this is a balmum that you're eating. Upturim ilasas pesach sheni. But the people don't have to do pesach sheni because the blood was sprinkled on their behalf. Amar Abaye said, we only said this solution is Arvula Achar Zrika. If after the blood was already thrown, and at the time of the throwing of the blood, everybody knew which carbon was theirs, then to be in the Dizruktam, you have a Chazil Achila. When they were throwing the blood, it was, you know, Kasher Karbanos, 4 of them. So then they're exempt from Pesach Sheni. Avonis Arvula Fnei Zrika. But if all these Karbanos got mixed up before the Zrika, and we find now that one of these carbonos really was no good, that means that when they threw the blood, really you weren't going to be able to eat anything. Now, chayav alas was Pesach Sheni, they have to do a Pesach Sheni. The one who said on our Mishnah that if at the time of the Zrika, it wasn't really going to permit any eating, because they forgot already which carbon was which. Kolshkan HaBraisa certainly would say it in the Braisa. Mandamasni HaBraisa, but the one who said it in the Braisa, Avol Masnisin lo, in our Mishnah not. Because Kevin the Ksherin Ninu, since both Karbanos are Kasher, the goat and the lamb. It's just, he forgot which one is his. And the Yiditkar, if he'd remember, Havi Chazi Lachila, he'd be able to eat it. So Kamishmai Yagali, in front of heaven, it's revealed that the blood was sprinkled correctly, and therefore he'd be exempt from Pesach Sheni. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue at this point tomorrow when we go back to the issue of the 5 carbonos that get mixed up. Why are they exempt from Pesach Sheni? After all, one of them didn't have a kosher carbon. So why are all 5 exempt from Pesach Sheni? Thank you. Have a wonderful day.